Welcome back to Simon Radio with me, Jamie Rose. My guest today, Grant Nichols, one part of indie rock icons feeder. Firstly, huge fan, Grant. Secondly, how are you today? You all good, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. Just sort of busy doing interviews and getting everything ready for the tour, getting all the merchandise sorted and, or, you know, all the stuff that goes into it. And then I'm back in rehearsal, yeah, tomorrow for the week and then the following week, and then we'll be out on the road.
Yeah, are you, I mean, that was going to be my first question. The new album, Black and Red, the tour starts next month. How excited are you for it all? Has it been a while since you've been out on the road, or are you just kind of excited to get back out there?
Yeah, we did some festivals. You know, we've been, you know, we do festivals most summers, but we obviously, the last tour was the previous album, the Torpedo album, which is very much connected with this sort of musically. It's sort of, it's become like a trilogy. So this is like the final sort of stage of that, really. But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, I am looking forward to it. Obviously, there's always a little bit of a nervous before a tour, you know, doing new songs and, you know, getting out there again and trying to get match fit, you know, get the voice in shape and all that. But I'm really looking forward to it. You know, the hardest bit is just trying to pick set lists, because we've got such a history of music now. We've been a band for 30 years. There's like 12 official albums, not including the best ofs and all that, so it's a little bit of a it's a little bit of a challenge, like trying to squeeze new stuff in and get some of the old classics in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you kind of find it hard now to kind of curate the set list? Because, there's just a massive amount of them. I was having a look. There's Echo Park and Comfort and Sound are platinum. I'm trying to think of the other one that's gold. You've got a massive, like, you could just do them albums, but also you've got the new one, Black and Red, that's coming out. Yeah, there's a whole host of kind of sounds. You've also got Torpedo, which is an amazing album, a massively underrated album. You've got such a history. Is it hard to kind of curate it now? Curate the music into kind of set list?
It is. I mean, you know, when you're doing a best of tour, it's a bit easier because although you've got, you know, we've got loads of singles, so you obviously can't play them all. We can alternate them. You know, we're mainly focusing on singles for that. Whereas, you know, when you're doing like an album tour, obviously it's about playing the new songs for the first time to your fans. You know, it just keeps it nice and interesting. But we also appreciate that some people that come to the gigs often think, you know, don't sort of realise that it's a new album tour and sort of come along expecting to hear every song to be a best-of song. But if we did that every tour, it'd just be the same set every night. So we're basically going to be, you know, we're going to do some old stuff, but we're going to try and squeeze in, you know, some of them in as well. But we're going to be focusing on the new record. I mean, this time around, it's like a double album, so we're not going to get them all in, but we're going to sort of, we're going to focus on at least half of the songs on the, you know, over the two records, and then to see what we can get in there each night. I mean, yeah, we might do a second part to the tour, and then if that happens, we might play some of the songs we didn't do on this first leg. But I think it'll be a good mix. You know, it's just trying to balance it all out. Obviously, you know, Torpedo wasn't that long ago, so we still want to play a few songs from that record as well. So by the time you put those in, you put the new stuff in, you put a few best of ones in there, you've suddenly got a long set.
you've got a massive set. Is there a bit of kind of anticipation then, a little bit of kind of anxiety when you're like, oh, maybe how will these songs react? Because you kind of go out there and let's be completely honest, you know that you're going to get a reaction from Buck Rogers, you know that you're going to get a reaction from Just Today, you know you're going to get a reaction from kind of anything from pretty much Echo Park album. Is there a bit of anticipation there with playing new stuff, or do you believe in it as a kind of that you've invested so much time and that it is a good record and that you are going to get the reaction that it kind of deserves?
I obviously think that our later work is better than a lot of our earlier work. It's just that people know the earlier work better, and it was a different world then. You know, people were buying CDs. We were on all over Radio 1. Yeah, we were a younger band, so you can't compare it. But I think that, you know, I don't think it's down to the music, it's just down to timing, you know, just like the way it is. You know, you can't always be... No band can always be on top, and you know, we worked really hard. You know, we were never an obviously commercial radio band, but because of the songs I write, some of them do get on radio, and we've always had that side to us as a band. We've always been heavy, but we love, you know, we love kind of good melodies, and that's kind of in my DNA as a songwriter. I love, you know, that's a big part of Feeder. You know, but I think there's a lot of some people, you know, you mentioned those songs just today, but Rogers, that's a tiny, tiny fragment of what we are as a band and what I am as a writer. And sometimes it's a bit frustrating because I think some of our best stuff, you know, I mean, Just the Way I'm Feeling was probably our biggest ever radio song, actually. It was on the radio for a long time. It was on one of our biggest albums. That doesn't seem to come up as the first song people mention. It's always Buck Rogers, It's Just a Day. Just the Way I'm Feeling was a massive song for us, and it's one that, you know, is right up there on Spotify even now. So, you know, I'm not complaining about it. It's just that, you know, there's a lot more to what we are as a band than just those songs. But I think every band has that. You know, it doesn't matter who you are, there's always one or two that people know the best, and that's fine. At least we've got a couple. You know, it could be worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, it's hard when you've got a big catalogue of music, but, you know, I'm still very inspired. I still love writing songs, and we just want to do new stuff as well. But we also appreciate that people like to hear some of the old feeder stuff. And, you know, we're even going to go back to our first album, like Polythene, which is a really popular record. There were some quite successful songs on that album for us. Like High is a really... That's been a very loyal song to us. It's quite an iconic feeder song now, which we still play. And, you know, we might do some stuff from that, which we don't do very often. You know, we even think that we've even been rehearsing some stuff we haven't played since, like, the late 90s, with John. So that would be quite special for a Die Hard fan to hear that again.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, I do think that, like, when you mention them feeder, it is usually just kind of, oh, it's Just Today, or it's Buck Rogers. But then when you kind of go through it and you've got kind of Come Back Round, you've got Summer's Gone, you've got kind of Tumble and Fall, which I was listening to, you've kind of got the new album, Lost, the new track that you released a couple of days ago, actually, which is quite ironic, Lost in the Wilderness, which I think is one of my favourite tracks from you. It really, really is. And it definitely rivals some of the older stuff. So I think you've got
there's a couple more that there's a few more on the record like that. There's some heavy stuff like Torpedo. Obviously, you put a few rocky ones out already, but you know, there's some anthemic stuff on there as well, because it's basically, I've done it like two separate CDs. It's a double album, but I didn't want it to be one long play. I wanted it to be two separate CDs. You have an intro in the middle, but they're almost like two standalone albums in their own right, but they're very much connected. Some of these songs, were written the same period as like Torpedo, some even during lockdown. So there's a few that have ended up on this record. So it's been a real journey. This whole album has been written over a kind of 4 or 5 year cycle, you know, Torpedo and these two. There's also another record that I haven't even put out, which is sort of on hold at the moment, which may come out after this one at some point. So you can see there's been a lot of music, and it's been all written around a kind of 4 or 5 year period.
There's a lot of music coming from you.
You know, when it's there, you may as well make the most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were formed in 1994, so I mean the height of Britpop is when you guys kind of form in. What was that kind of like as a period for you guys as a band? Because this is like the height of like Britpop, like the kind of height of rock music in England and the UK. I mean, what was that period like when you're forming it? Obviously.
It was pretty hard. Actually, we started, before we met Taco, we were called Real. We were very much, you know, very similar music. We were a three-piece, and it was like the start of Feeder, but we were called Real. And we had a different bass player that wasn't going to be a full-time guy. And then we auditioned bass players and found Taco eventually. And that's when it became Feeder as you know it.
Yeah.
So we were around, actually, before 94. We started about 92, 93. So we've been around a while. And we came along. We did our thing. You know, we were playing with loads of Britpop bands. It was a massive scene. You know, and, you know, we knew a lot of those bands, but we were a lot heavier, but we didn't look like a heavy metal band. We kind of fitted in image-wise with Britpop bands, I think, but we were quite different musically to them. So it was a bit of a battle, and we were kind of being compared to a lot of American bands as well as British bands. We were somewhere in the middle, like almost like mid-Atlantic sound, because we were kind of more in the like Nirvana, Smashing Pumpkins, all those kind of bands sort of area. But we also had like a bit of a British side to us, which is what we still have now, I think. So we were in the sort of, I wouldn't say no man's land, we were kind of in the middle. So it was kind of cool in some way, because what we were doing was a bit different. And when people started to see us live, we quickly started to build like a really loyal following, because we were doing something that a lot of American bands were doing, but we were doing it in the UK, but it was a bit different as well. To answer your question, it was difficult because we weren't a trendy Britpop band, but we were part of that scene, even though we weren't, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and kind of Black and Red being a double album, is that kind of a kind of throwback to that in a weird way? You kind of throwback to that time and in kind of like the mid-90s where you kind of had A side and B side, which you don't really have anymore. Is the new album kind of a throwback to that with it being kind of double-sided? Or is it just because you've written so many tracks that it's hard to fit them all in?
I think sort of a bit of everything, really. I mean, I grew up with a lot of, you know, like prog rocky stuff as well as like punk rock, 70s rock, pop music, everything, you know, like classic rock. And I always loved those bands that had those sort of two double albums concept things. I always thought it was really cool, and I loved all the artwork. So I've always wanted to do a double album, like, and we were going to do it on the Torpedo record, but we decided not to. I got cold feet, and I thought, you know what, this is time to do it. You know, we've been a band for, you know, for as long as we have, it's nice to do something different. I felt this was a good time, in a bit of a statement, to do a double album. And yeah, and I suppose if you go back to the 90s, there were a few bands who were very, like, prolific, like, you know, like us. I already mentioned, like, Smashing Pumpkins did, you know, the Melancholy Infinite Sadness album, which was a big statement for them to have a double album, and I always remember that. And maybe it just feels like a good time for us to do it, you know. And I felt there was enough decent songs to make it an interesting journey.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot, and I'm looking forward to the album. I think it'll be, like you say, and I feel like it's a whole kind of, you've written so much, and I feel like it is in a weird way, it's a different sound. It's a more mature sound that's coming
it's
from
not
you
just
guys.
Sort of, yeah, I mean, this album's not thrown together. There's a lot of songs that haven't gone on this record that are really strong tracks, and probably some more radio-friendly, but they felt they didn't belong quite with this record. It felt like it had a bit of a concept of musically going through it, and it, you know, it just had a certain journey. I didn't want to, you know, I want to keep it interesting. There is some different tracks on there, but I didn't want to deviate too much from that. I just wanted to have different moods and dynamics and keep it interesting that way, rather than just throw a few bouncy indie songs there just for the sake of it. So there is a lot of that stuff in the can, which we may drop at some other point. But yeah, it was really focused. I mean, it was a lot of work, this record. I mean, it's been a real labour of love for me, and it was a lot of, you know, it's taken us a lot of time. But it was an enjoyable album to make. But it was also, you know, probably one of the hardest as far as actual time and the amount of music we had to get finished. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot that's kind of gone into it, and I'm really looking forward to listening to it. When is the new album out, by the way? When is it being released? The album.
Oh, do you know what? I've forgotten the day.
I was going to... I couldn't find the day.
I think it's basically... It's like the first week or so of April. Basically, okay, we're doing this back to front. We're doing the tour first, and we're doing the album at
and
the
then
end.
Doing an album, yeah.
I mean, I know, and but we are really... Because there's a lot of songs, there's 18 songs on the record, if you include the intro track, Droids.
Yeah.
There's, you know, we were happy to let people hear, you know, some songs up front. So we're releasing six. So there'll be six, possibly seven singles people would have heard, you know, before the tour. So that's good, because it means that where people will be hearing new stuff, but they would have heard, you know, the singles which we'll be playing. So that's great. So it's not like people are going to be turning up and going, oh, I don't know this song. That can be hard work for any band. So at least we've put out, you know, we've tested the water with these, and we've had a good reaction. And I mean, we've showed a few different sides. You know, you've heard some heavy stuff like Playing With Fire, in the more anthemic songs like ELF, and then you've heard, you know, some more, you know, some stuff a little bit more melodic and anthemic, you know, like the new single, A Lost in the Wilderness, and I don't know if you've heard the song called Soldiers of Love.
Yes,
which
yes.
Is, that's
which
the
is a very
really
good
big,
song, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very classic sort of feeder song, but it's not one of our heavier songs. It's a bit more, it's got strings on.
I feel like it belongs on kind of Comfort and Sound album, I think.
It is very much that era. You know, the thing about this record, I really want, look, you know, we're not here to reinvent the wheel. You know, we have our sound, I have my style. You know, you get criticised for it. You go, oh, it sounds like something else you've done. Or, you know, every band who's had a career, as long as the songs are good, you know, that's what they've had careers, whether it's Green Day or... You know, or Foo Fighters, or Nirvana, or Oasis—they have a formula, and you can say, "Oh, well, it sounds like them." But it's when they have those really good songs that come along with that formula that you like. That's when it connects with people, and that's what I always try and do. You know, we're comfortable with what we are. We experiment a lot more than people give us credit for. There's loads of strings, loads of keyboard stuff, like crazy moves, and it's not just guitar, bass, and drums on feeder stuff. There's a lot goes into it, and you know, sometimes people think, oh, same thing. Well, I think they're wrong there, because, you know, you can get songs that are more different to Playing With Fire and Soldiers, but they show the breadth of what we are as a band and kind of how I write, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, really looking forward to it. Tour 14th of, all throughout March, 14th of March at the Engine Shed in Lincoln. Just want to kind of pull you back a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to kind of stuff like Comfort and Sound, Echo Pack, what are some of the massive, around that kind of period when you guys were huge in kind of the early 2000s, I would say, what was kind of the period where kind of, where some people coming up to you and you was just thinking, like you was kind of a little bit starstruck, or where you'd heard music, your tracks, and you was like, I can't believe that it's on this. Is there any kind of stuff like that that stands out where you've either been starstruck or you've kind of heard your track somewhere and you've gone, I can't believe that it's reached this destination?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously anyone hearing their track, you know, whether it's walking past and here on the radio, or you're walking past and there's, you know, somebody doing, you know, those guys that do their outdoor workouts in the park. I mean, I often, even now, I went for like a run the other day, and there was like a one-to-one personal trainer, and he had a playlist on, and then he played Just the One Feeling, and then the next day I come back around. So I'm thinking, is this guy a Feeding fan, or was it onto some compilation thing? But yeah, no, but it has been times. I mean, obviously, you know, I noticed that we started to get kind of like recognised a bit, you know, just going into supermarkets and stuff. When, yeah, you know, I suppose that was more after probably the Echo Park record, when people started to see us a bit more on TV, things and things like that. You know, we've never been, you know, we've always been an indie rock band. We've never been on a big major label, so we've never, you know, we're not like a hugely commercial band on everything. But we did a fair bit of TV, Top of the Pops and that, so people started to recognise us. So that was, you know, that was quite a crazy time. And then going into Comfort and Sound, you know, the same kind of thing, really. But I think also, you know, yeah, I think every time you hear your music used on something, whether it's sport or you hear on the radio or on a film, it's always, it kind of, yeah, I mean, it's still a very special thing for any artist, I think, that, you know?
Yeah, is the kind of anyone that's an idol of yours, is there anyone that's an idol of yours that you was like, I can't believe that you're listening to my music?
What, you mean other people that, what,
yeah,
that have kind of that listened to it?
Yeah, that have kind of listened to it, or you've kind of maybe backstage at a festival perhaps, or whatever, and you've been like, I can't believe that you kind of listened to, you know, Echo Park or the new album or whatever.
Yeah, I've met a lot of people that are big fans of the band I didn't know, you know, all sorts of, you know, all walks of life, really. I mean, you know, anything from Noel Fitzpatrick to, I remember meeting Simon Pegg a few times. He used to live near me, and he had Comfort and Sound. This is going back a few years, and he had it in his in the gym, actually, on the day I saw him. It was kind of bizarre. And then, you know, lots of people, really. I mean, I know some bands, I don't want to drop any names, but I know there's a few artists that, you know, like the band and stuff like that, and a few sportsmen as well. But yeah, no, it is nice. I mean, so, you know,
There's a following that garners Feeder that I suppose is nice for you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just nice. But, you know, not anyone that finds a connection with the songs, you know, that we do and I've written, you know, is always nice because it makes it all worthwhile and it reinforces your belief in, you know, why you wrote that song. You can't get every song right. There's always going to be some that maybe aren't as good as others or don't connect for any reason. So, you know, some of the best songs I've ever written, I don't think have been as successful as I thought they'd be. It's just timing, it's luck, it's whether you get the right break, it's whether you get on the right TV shows, get the right radio plays, get the right Spotify playlist. Now, it's all down to that, and that can really launch a song. It might be you do some crazy thing, I don't really use it, but on TikTok, and it can just go viral, and suddenly you've got a big hit on your hands. I mean, it's a very different world now. You never quite know.
I mean, it is.
It's so different to going back to what you said when people were buying thousands of CDs when you put out records. Albums would hang around for, you know, for months. Songs would hang around for months. And now it's a much, much faster business. It's more of a conveyor belt. Even the big bands' albums don't hang around very long anymore. They used to, you know, unless you're like Taylor Swift or someone like that. But you know what? You know, I'm not complaining. It is what it is. You know, we love what we're doing. We've got a great fan base of all ages. This is going to be a great tour. So if you haven't bought a ticket, come and see us, you know, and discover some new Feeder stuff as well as the old classics. And obviously, you like, check out the album, because I think, I'm not just saying it, but I think it's one of our best. And I've lived with it. I've loved it. I've hated it. I've loved it again. You know, so
there's,
you know,
a lot that goes into it. Yeah, there's a lot that's gone into it.
We're our own worst critics. I think every artist is. There's always that, you know, that element of insecurity, you know, when you finish a record, but I've gone through that and I've come out the other side, and I'm just looking forward now to getting out on tour. You know, it's sort of great that we're still doing it, and we've got such a great fan base and a new generation of fans as well coming on board. I think there's a lot of 90s bands that you know, become, you know, are quite relevant again, and I think that we've just carried on riding the wave, and we've managed to keep going, and that's probably just from being consistent and, you know, obviously engaging with our fan base and doing what we love doing. You know, you can't really do any more than that, really.
No, absolutely. And he's still smashing it, still loving the sound. The new album,
thanks, mate. Thank you.
Black and Red, comes out in April. Get your tickets. Lincoln Engine Shed, 14th of March. Grant, thank you for coming on. Really do appreciate it. And yeah, this has been an absolute pleasure. So yeah, best of luck with the tour, best of luck with the album, and I can't wait to hear it. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me.